You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Well, as Pastor Tim said, my name is James. I'm one of the associate pastors here at High Ridge, and I am English. I have been in Longview for 20 and a half years. So that's why the accent is what it is. So this is what you get. It's 19 years of England, 20 years of East Texas. So it's a mess is what it is. I don't really know what to say. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad those of you that are joining us online. I think my parents are probably watching. So how's everybody in England doing? Pastor Tim, thank you for letting me be up here again. Usually when I'm up here, Pastor Tim's usually in Colorado or somewhere on sabbatical. This is the first time he's been in the room when I've preached. So I better watch out. Better not say something I shouldn't say. But let's get into it today. I got a word for you. We're going to be in Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and not be weary, and young men shall not fall exhausted. But they who wait," everybody say wait. "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not run and be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I like it. All right, well, title of my message today is called "Don't Waste the Wait." Anybody like to wait? Anybody like to wait in lines? Anybody like to wait in a doctor's office, waiting room? I mean, you're waiting in there. It's that's the name of it. So that's what you should expect that. Anybody like to wait at a green light when it's when you should be going? I wanted to put something on the screen that this is the only thing that you take away today is when you're at a red light, green means go, all right? If you take nothing else away today, take that. I have a 5-second rule when the light turns green, and if you do not go, you'll hear from me with the honk, right? So if that's what you needed today, if that's the piece of advice you need to walk out with today, green means go, and the 5-second rule. If we all implemented the 5-second rule, I feel like this city would move a little better. I'll talk to the city about that and see what they can do. But green means go. I don't like to wait. I don't want to wait around. I don't like waiting in lines. Don't like waiting on, you know, if my food comes in 5 minutes and it was wrong, that's better than me waiting 30 minutes and my food was perfect. Like, I don't like to wait. I'm very impatient. Some of you know that about me. I just don't like waiting. I don't like waiting so much that one time I wanted something. I'll tell you where it is. It was a computer game. All right. Don't shame me. Don't judge me. It was a computer game and I wanted it and it had just come out, but I didn't want to get out of the car and I didn't want to walk around for the store. So I was like, what do we do today? In today's technology, what do? We get online, we go to the Target app and we expect it to be in our car in 5 minutes. So that's what I did. I'm driving around town. I thought, I want that game. I want to go get it. I want to go play. I want to be selfish and go home and hunker down for 5 hours and play my game. Let me go get the Target app. I click on it, and I'm like, it's one thing. You're literally going into the store to get one thing for me and bring it to my car. It's not like I had a cart full of stuff where I would expect that maybe to take a little longer. I had one thing. I'm like, how long does it take you to get my order on your little system at Target, whatever it looks like, go to the back of the store, put it in a bag, and bring it to my car? Like, how long should that take? It took 45 minutes. Let me tell you, it took 45 minutes. And that was 45 minutes too long, in my opinion. I just don't like to wait. And I think some of the things that We don't like waiting on life, and we can make jokes about waiting and sitting around and not doing those things. But I think sometimes when we're waiting on God to do something in our lives, that kind of our impatience and our frustration of waiting kind of spills into our relationship with Him. Because we're in a culture and we're in a society that's just one thing to the next, and we're moving and we're going and we're here and we're there and we're ready. And there's this idle time in the middle that we just don't understand and we don't like and we don't get it, and it's frustrating and it's confusing. And we don't sit to wait in the wait. We waste the wait. God is clearly trying to do something. I'm sure we've all experienced seasons in our lives where we've been going from one thing to the next, and God's just with us. All right, God, where are you at? What you doing? And God's like, I'm preparing you. I'm getting you ready. Don't waste the wait. That's the title of my message today. Don't waste the wait. Oftentimes, when God says, okay, we're stopped, we're done, that season's over, we're getting ready to the next, that doesn't mean we stop completely every single thing that we're doing. We don't just sit on the couch and twiddle our thumbs. Right? God isn't asking us to do that. There's purpose in the wait. Our waiting on God to move is about being, not being passive, but being productive. Our waiting on God to move cannot be passive. It must be productive. We can't just sit there and sit on our hands and be like, all right, God, we're just waiting for you to tell me what to do again. If you haven't heard what God is, you don't know what the next thing is, this will tell you what you can be doing in the meantime. There's a whole playbook, storybook right here that will tell you where to go, what to do, how to do it. It's not, we don't need direction from the Lord directly into this situation or that situation. We continue to serve. We continue to be a part of a local church. Congratulations, you all did that today. Check it off your list. We continue to serve. We continue to give. We continue to be a part of what God is doing. And as we continue to do those things, as we continue to be obedient, God will then start to line out, okay, well, we're moving along on the journey, right? We're moving along in the story that God is orchestrating for us. My life has kind of been, I got saved relatively early as a kid and then did the regular teenage thing and didn't want to be a part of that. And then came back to the Lord at about 18 and felt the Lord call me to ministry. Like I just did at that age, 18 years old. I felt like God was asking me to step into some type of ministry. And then that would be it. Okay, that's what I would do the rest of my life. God doesn't always work that way. God doesn't give you this thing and then all of a sudden it's perfect and we just walk into what it is that we think we should be doing. God waited a number of years to get me to where I am today. And you're going to hear a little bit about that as I share today. But talking of waiting and a season and knowing that regardless of what's happening during the season, let's look at the story of Joseph. It's going to be Genesis 37 through 52 is the story. If you want to go back and read it, we're not going to look at it today. But God, Joseph, you know, God put a call and a purpose on Joseph's life, right? An anointing. So from the day that God was like, this is where I want you to go and this is what I want you to do, 13 years was the span that it took for actually that promise to come to fruition. So whether you've got a word from God or you have a dream or a desire to go do, or you think that God is asking you to do something, don't expect it to be instant. Don't expect it to be, oh, God gave me the word, let's go. Joseph waited 13 years. From when I felt like God called me to ministry until I went into ministry, whatever that looks like really, if you want to look at that, that was a 16-year process. It's not an instant. And we've got to work while we wait. Joseph continued to press into the Lord. He continued to hear from God, whether he was in prison or getting accused of some awful things. He continued knowing the promise that God had given him. So I don't know what that promise is today. Don't give up on the promise. That was another title I had for a different message. The promises that God gives you and has given you, the desires, the visions, the dreams, the hopes, just because you hit a little turbulence along the way or you have to wait for a certain time, don't give up on that. God is calling you to those things. So when we think about waiting and we think about what am I supposed to do or what's happening in me while I'm waiting, like obviously there must be, I think we've all been through waiting seasons, whether we're transitioning out of something or we're waiting for that next thing. God is wanting to do something in us. So what can we learn about that in the waiting? So my first point, if you're taking notes, is waiting reveals our true motives. waiting on something brings out the best and the worst in people, right? Oh, I got it. This is it. I'm going. I'm ready to go. My motivation is, I don't know what my motivation is, but I want to go, and I want to go do it. It can bring out the best. It can also bring out the worst. I said it this way. Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on what we're waiting for. If you're, it's going to show you your motive. If it's just a quick fix and you're just waiting for that next high, maybe you love the presence of God and you encounter God all the time. And if you're just waiting for that next high, that next thing, that's not what God is wanting for us to do. He's wanting us to be in constant. Our motivation shouldn't be, I'm just waiting for the next high, I'm just waiting for the next night of worship, just waiting for the next youth camp, whatever it might be. It shows our motives, it shows our intentions, it shows you what is motivating us to go to the next season or to that next thing. The second point is waiting builds anticipation. Anybody got vacation coming up? Anyone excited about vacation, or you get excited about Christmas, or you get excited about the next thing, or you get excited about the next phone that's coming out? I mean, I don't know where we're at on the iPhone, like iPhone 300 maybe, I don't know, but like we get excited for that next thing. And it kind of builds up the anticipation. You will cherish what God is doing more the longer you wait for him to move. If we can sit around and really embrace the beauty of waiting, then we'll appreciate everything that God is trying to do in our lives and what he ultimately does do in our lives. Third thing is waiting transforms our character. This is one we don't really like. I feel like I'm a pretty decent person. I don't need my character to be transformed. I'm sure some of us are sitting there thinking that this morning. I'm a pretty decent person. I don't need a whole lot. But I think God has always wanted to work on us. I am a constant work in progress. Whether I'm up here or down there with you, I'm a process. I'm in process all the time. And we can't waste the moments that God is wanting to do and the moments that where God is wanting to work and do the things in our hearts and in our minds to get us ready for whatever it is. God often uses waiting as a catalyst in which to refine our character. I think waiting is a sign of humility. It's a sign of saying, all right, maybe I don't have it all together. Maybe I do need a little help every once in a while. It's almost like a reverence and an awe of God. It's saying, okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait. And yeah, I've tried to manipulate, I've tried to control, I've tried to do things my way. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to wait. Don't waste the wait. The fourth thing is waiting reveals who is in control. I'm a little bit of a control freak. Anybody else in the room? Let me see some hands. And then some of you are lying. All right, that's fine. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't feel like I used to be this way. But I like to have control of everything that I'm involved with. You know, even I want to control the people on the road because I don't feel safe. Honestly, I don't feel safe on the roads in Longview because I just control. I want to control everything that my kids are doing because maybe they're going to make a mistake or they're going to go the wrong direction for a while. They're going to do this and I just feel like I have to hold on to it. Now, maybe they didn't load the dishwasher the correct way, so I just come in behind them and just fix it because that's what we do. It's just a control. I don't know what my control issue is or where it came from. I just have one. And I appreciate that I'm in a room full of honest people that can say the same. The only way God can show us he's in control is to put us in situations we cannot control. And I find myself in situations where I am not in control. Most every day. I think Bill mentioned one time, he was talking about the idea that we go through seasons of our lives far too long and maybe more times than we need to because we didn't learn the lesson the first time. And control is one of those things for me. God keeps getting me, putting me back into the control issue class, and I keep getting enrolled because I keep failing that class every year. And the next thing will come along and he'll check me and test me again and I'll grab it and pull it back and be like, no, I need to control this. He continually puts us in places where we have no control. And as beautiful as that is, it's also super scary, right? Because we don't know. The unknown is scary to all of us. Ultimately, waiting reveals that I am not in control. Point five is waiting restores my strength. We read that in the Isaiah passage. Waiting brings me to the end of myself so that I can begin to trust the power of God. And it shouldn't be from a place of, oh, I've tried everything else, this last resort, I'll just trust God with this. Which is what we do, let's be honest. We will try every which way to figure things out before we go to the presence of God. Okay, I try every which way before I enter the presence of God, right? And but to truly lay our lives before the Lord and have him control it, what a beautiful idea, but what a beautiful reality too. That's like the holy grail, right, of our walk with the Lord, is to just continue to take steps, listening, obeying, taking steps. Not looking over here or looking over here or looking back and wishing I could have fixed this or I could have done it this way, but just listening and stepping and saying, yes, I'm blind. Yes, yes, okay, we'll do it. And he will continue to do that. He'll restore the strength that you thought you had. Ultimately, waiting invites us into a place of contentment that defies all circumstances. Because it is God at work in our lives to reveal his love and grace. My life story is a life full of grace. And I think most of you in the room would be in the same category. The grace of God has got me to today. Absolutely. I have done my own thing. I've tried my own thing. I've gone this way. I've tried to go that way. And all of it is pointed back to what God has got for my life. So when I received Christ at a young age, I didn't really do much with it, you know. I fast forward all these years to I turned 19, came to Longview, Texas. I was supposed to be here for 9 months, and now we're at 20 and a half years, which is a little longer than was planned. And budgeted for, but still working on that. And I went into ministry. I went into youth ministry, worked with schools and churches locally, and just got involved in different things. And just thought, all right, well, this is it. I'm in ministry. This is what God's called me to do. I guess when I'm done with this, the next door will open, and then a window will open, and then the next thing will happen. I'll just keep walking into what God has for me. And I will just live this life of ministry that I thought that God was calling me to. That didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. I have had multiple jobs in different areas, always with the idea that, okay, I'm in banking right now, or I'm in HR right now, but I got one foot with my tennis shoe on, ready to run as far away from that as possible because I feel like God's got a calling on my life, right? And I lived with this foot out the door everywhere I went because I was adamant God had this vision and purpose for my life. And what God did in those seasons was incredible. Like some of you knew me back in 2003. Not many of you, but 2003 was probably not the year of James, for sure. It was not probably 03 to, I don't know, pretty recently probably, when we're not the year for James. But you've seen the work that the Lord's done in my life, some of you. And then those of you that haven't, you're blessed to get this version of James. I think it's a little better. But I was not ready for that. I've shared this before, but what God did in my life, like I was ready to step into full-time ministry at 19 years old and take over the world, right? I would have ruined you. I'd have wrecked your lives, let me be honest with you. You know, I would have wrecked future relationships and marriage and kids and all the things for me and then for you, because I'm involved in your lives as a part of my role here at the church, and I would have done and said some probably pretty bad things. God had to check me and mold me and prune and pick and punch and kick and all the things to get me to even just the state I am today. And I'm still far from where he wants me to be. So what do we do while we wait? Like, I get that's all the things that God is going to do in us, but what are we called to do? What can we do? The first thing is pray. Like, it's like when I was writing these notes down, I was like, this is so simple. Like, these people are smarter than this. But I put it in, it's my first point. It's pray, and pray a lot. Let prayer be a rock during your time of waiting. When you're in the transition, the idle state, not knowing what's, you just finished something, you're not knowing what's next. I don't know what that is for you. Whatever you walked in with today, I think we're all always going through some type of transition, some type of change, whether it's relationship related, or it's work related, or it's even in our relationship with the Lord, or ministry, or whatever it might be. We're always, what's that next thing, Lord? What's that next thing you've got for me? Spend time with the Lord. It shouldn't be this simple for me to say that, but spend time with the Lord. Continued communication will always point you in the right direction. Like, you may not know what the direction is, but that doesn't matter. It's the right direction. It's the direction that God is trying to get you to move in. And we don't always know. I've taken so many steps in life where I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. But I just felt like, all right, God, this is what you got for me. I'm gonna step out into it. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. It's not what I thought it was going to be like. But I'm taking that step. He'll always point you in the right direction. Second one is read your Bible. See, they get simpler as we go. That's how I like it. I'm a simple person. Read the Bible. If you're not hearing from God, and I know God speaks and he audibly speaks and he speaks through people and he gives people visions and dreams and all sorts of things. I'm not saying he doesn't do any of that. But he also authored this. I think PT touched on it a few weeks ago, the importance of being in this. Like, if you haven't got a clue where to go, what to do, the kids are freaking out, the job's not working out, or whatever, this will give you direction. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might find hope. Like, I know this was written a while ago, and sometimes it reads weird, and they talk funny, and it doesn't always make sense to us, but it's for us today still. Like, we can still find little gems in this. And I'm not a fan of just kind of flicking through and then being like, boom, that's the word for the day. I didn't do that today for this message, just to let you know. I didn't. That's not how I roll most of the time. But with that being said, I think you could do that and say, God, speak to me, and he'll speak to you. It's all about the heart posture, how you go into it. If you're going in with an expectant heart saying, God, speak to me in Jeremiah 24, the basket of figs, I just randomly opened that. But God will speak to you if you have a heart posture that is like, speak to me. Yeah. Yeah. He'll do it with the basket of figs. Yeah. He'll bring out something that's going on that you can relate to and be in the Word. And often what feels like waiting is actually a season of preparation. And this is the preparation manual. Time with him and reading the Word will get you prepared. And then the third thing we can do, which is the toughest one, it sounds really easy, but surrender to the process. And I know we're all scared of the word surrender. Like, I get that. It goes back to our control issues. It's okay. We're dealing with it. But surrender to the process. I've fought the process every which way I can. Timing's not working out. Where are you at? What you doing? What's going on, Lord? I thought I would be here by now. I thought I'd have this by now. I thought this would be the life we have by now. I thought whatever reasoning, whatever excuses, we fight the process. But I'm here today to say, don't fight the waiting. God is doing something in you that is preparing you for whatever it is to come. Try to speed things up, but process It's time, literally, right? It's a continued step by step. It's not a from here to here in one step. There's 100 steps in between, and God is ordaining every single one of them. My journey in ministry was not what I thought. Like I said, I thought that once I got into youth ministry, that would be it. I'd kind of just work my way through, you know, the idea, you know, youth ministry, and then you go into a different pastor role, and you just pastor role, you know, you kind of work your way up. Like the youth pastor role is like the bottom role. It's not, by the way, for any of you worried about that, it's not. We're all in this together. But that's just kind of how it looks like from the outside sometimes. And I did my time in youth ministry, man. Did my time here, and I did my time in England in youth ministry. I did 20 years in youth ministry, give or take. And that's where the gray is from, and just, it was rough. Like, I'll be honest with you. Some of you have graduated from that ministry, and it was rough, and the parents are welcome for the time that we took it on. And you remember when we we didn't have a youth pastor for a while, and we had to tag team, like a few couples in the church, tag team the youth ministry here? Woo! That was, we were making stuff up on the spot every week. And we didn't have a clue. We were just living the dream, baby. And now those of you that are in youth group here at this church, you're welcome. You have an amazing youth pastor that's prepared every single week. And but the generation before you, maybe not so much. But I just thought every door would open. I wasn't waiting around. I wasn't ready to wait. I was like, let's go. I've done this, been in schools, done ministry, now I'm ready for the next thing. Where's the door? Let me find the door to the next thing. Looking around, no doors. I'm in a doorless room. No doors, no windows, nowhere to go. And God says, all right, James, go work for a bank. And I had no experience or desire or any, nothing. I didn't want to go work in banking. I worked in banking for 9 years. And then I went to HR and just did different things. And I was still like, God, where are you? Like my foot's out the door still. Like I prepped everyone, like every interview I went to. I'm like, well, really I got a call on my life, so I may not be here that long. I just prefaced every interview. I remember the HR job I went to, and it was a guy I knew, and he kind of knew me, so he knew my heart for ministry, and I'm like, and I ended up, I mean, I did 8 years with him, and I thought it would be like maybe 6 or 7 months, I don't know, but I was just prepared to, I was just out the door every day, ready to just make that move. I'm like, all right, God, just hit me, and I'll go wherever you need me to go. I'll do whatever you need me to do. And just the years went by, 16 years went by. And now I've been on staff here at High Ridge for a year and a half, give or take. And I've been around. If you've been around this church for longer than that, you know I've been around. I've been involved. And I continue to serve, and I continue to do the things I felt God was calling me to do. But all the while, just been like, all right, I'm ready. Come on. The time is now, Lord. Do what you got to do. And I wasn't ready. My heart wasn't ready. My heart was not right. And I had to come to a place where I said, God, if I've got this wrong, like I've held on to this dream and this desire for 16 years now, and I'm still adamant that I heard from you, but if I got this wrong, you're going to have to change my heart because I'm not changing it. And I cried in first service, so I'll cry in this one. But God had to do a work in my heart to get me to a place where it wasn't this idea that I thought I had to have. And he gave me what I have today. And I had to be willing to say yes, whatever it looks like. And it doesn't look like what I thought it would look like. Like I sit in, as a part of my role here at the church, I work with Transformation Longview and Unite, and we're involved heavily with the city. And I sit in city meetings and chamber meetings, and I ain't got a clue what they're talking about half the time. You know, but so this pastoring gig that I have does not look like what I thought it was going to look like, but I absolutely love it. And it took the Lord breaking me down. So whatever it is you're holding on to today, continue to hold on to it. But don't be scared when he tries to break you and bring you to the bottom to start all over again. My heart wasn't prepared for what I'm doing today. I didn't have the intelligence or the emotional intelligence to deal with the things that I'm dealing with today. But I was ready. I was ready to go at 19 and then at 25 and at 30 and 35. Now I'm almost 40 and I feel like I might be on the right track. It's never too late. My final little line thought I want to leave with you is, what God does in you while we wait is just as important as what we are waiting for him to do. That is the story of my life. Like, I love what I'm doing today. Like, I'm living the dream. I remember when Pastor Chris and Julie and Hannah, my wife, we were all talking about being in ministry together and doing all the things, and PC would lead worship and all the things. And like, we're living those days now. But my heart was not ready for it. What God did inside of me to get me to today is way better than what I'm actually doing today. So my life is a beautiful story of God's grace and work. And the tiny part I had to play in surrendering to that, all I did was just sit back. I had to do some work. We can do hard things. That's a good thing. That's a good saying. We can do hard things. I've done some hard things. Others of you in the room have done much harder and tougher things than me, walked through harder things than I have. But I've walked through some stuff. And what I walk through is way better than what I'm doing today, I believe. Because he changed my heart. Yes. Not just what I'm doing, not just the stuff that I get to do and engage in every day, which I love. I love everything I get to be a part of. I love that I get to be here with you today. I love that I get to sit with city leaders and talk about how our city can be involved with our church and how our church can influence and be involved with our city. I love being a part of the men's ministry. We see 400 guys in here and guys giving their lives to the Lord. I love it all. But what God did inside of me is so much more precious to me. And I had to surrender to the process. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what season you're moving from or moving into, or whether it's scary or it's exciting or it's just unknown. Continue to hold on to it. Don't give up when it gets tough. I've given up. Like, I've not given up during these 18 years. I've given up at times. I've had a pity party on multiple occasions. A self-pity party, you know, we all go through those occasionally. Don't give up on the dreams and the hopes and the desires that you feel God has placed in your heart. It's worth it. One last scripture to leave you with is Psalm 37, 5-7. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on him. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to figure it out. When I truly stopped all those things, that's when the Lord did a work. When I kept pushing my agenda and trying to do this or try to show this person this so I could go do, never worked out. It took him 16 years to get a hold of me. And I'm not saying it's gonna take that long for you. Hopefully you're a lot more mature in your faith with the Lord than I was, or I am, and this will just be a blip. But 16 years was a long time for me. But I waited. Did I wait well all the time? No. But I waited. And now I feel like the Lord is using me and blessing my life incredibly because of the work that I allowed him to do. Let's pray. Can we put our Bibles away, put our notes away? If you just lay your hands out on your knees. It's a posture before the Lord. And just give it to him. Whatever it is, whatever season you're in, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever transition from one thing to the next, or you don't even see what that next thing is, or you know what it is, but you're just having a really hard time processing and figuring out how to get there. Just lay it at his feet. Just give it to him. Surrender to the will and the control of the Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are a good God that is faithful. Even when we look the other way or look back trying to fix things or wishing we had done this or that, Lord, you are faithful and constant, and your goodness goes forever. So Lord, we give you our lives and our hearts and our situations and our circumstances today. We ask you to move on our hearts. Lord, we ask you to move in this situation, but Lord, more importantly, we ask you to move with inside of us. Because you have good things for those that call upon your name and that submit to your will. Lord, we give you our hearts and our minds today. Do what you can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And with eyes closed and no one looking around, maybe you've been waiting for something your whole life. And what I'm talking about, a relationship with the Lord, maybe you're like, I don't know what I'm waiting on, but this might be it. I've been sat around waiting for something to happen or someone to come along. And the process of what you've heard today and the things you've heard from me today, you're like, I don't even know who this Jesus is. If that's something you want, if you want to hear from the Lord, if you want a relationship with him, then I would be honored to pray with you. We never take these moments for granted. We never take them. We understand the responsibility that we have as a church to point you toward Jesus. We want you to know God. So I'm going to pray, and if that's something you're wanting, for the first time, or you've done this lots of times, I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna pause and I'm gonna give you a chance to repeat it. You can be repeat it out loud, you can repeat it in your heart, you can under your breath, wherever you, however you wanna do it. There's no formula for it, just that you believe what you're saying. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for what you did on that cross. I believe what you did on that cross. I understand that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you died and rose again for my sin, for my shame, and for all my mistakes. I ask you to come into my heart and into my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. With no one looking around and heads bowed. If that was you for the first time, that was you again. You just wave at me real quick so I can get a picture of what that looks like. Well, if you're waving at me, maybe look up at me if you would and look at the screen behind me. There's a QR code and a phone number that we want you to scan and text. And we'll shoot you back some videos that Pastor Tim has prepared that will kind of explain a little bit about what just happened in your heart and what the next steps are. We don't want to be a church that leads you to Jesus and then kind of leaves you there and doesn't tell you what to do next. So if you'll text us and we'll send you some information back, and that would be great. Well, Harris Church, you'll stand up with me. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor. My story is a story of grace, and I know many of you in this room feel that same way, that you've seen God move in your lives. I'm going to invite the elders and their wives forward. They will be here for you to pray with. At the end of every service, we want to give you that opportunity to be prayed for and prayed with. These guys will fight on your behalf and go to prayer with you. So if that's something you need, please come on and see one of them. Let me pray for you, and get you guys out of here. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise that regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what's happening to us, Lord, you are doing something in us. And we are grateful for that, Lord. I pray a blessing over each person in this room today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.